Mercedes-Benz Oakville is offering 0% finance rates for 60 months on all remaining 2014 C-Class demonstrators, plus three payments waived. The Mercedes-Benz Oakville demonstrator sale is on now until October 31st. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.ca.
Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hello to the hockey world, North America-wide, and NHL dressing rooms all across the National Hockey League. This is Hockey Central at Noon. Darren Millard in the studio today with Scott Morrison and Billy Jaffe. How was the weekend?
Dare I say mump-free dressing rooms?
Mump-free.
It seems like we haven't had one, thank God, for how many weeks now?
It's been a while. We got a mono dressing room.
We do have a mono. That's coming out of the Los Angeles Kings. We'll get to you all the injury news, and there's a significant amount of casualty around the National Hockey League from this weekend. Three games coming your way tonight. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay on Sportsnet, Colorado, Washington, and then Toronto, Los Angeles on Sportsnet, Ontario. That is a 10:30 Eastern time start. Kyle Dubas, assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, will stop by at Hockey Central. Some news out of their organization with William Nylander being recalled and will be assigned to the American Hockey League's Toronto Marlies, and that is an interesting one because originally the plan was for William Nylander to spend his entire season in the Swedish Elite League. So an adjustment there, and the thinking being, get him some time with the big boys, North American hockey, that is, and playing some North American style. Here is Kyle Dubas on the phone with us. How are you, Kyle?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good. So what made you guys switch from sending Nylander to the Swedish Elite League for the entire season to coming over for the last half of the American Hockey League campaign?
Well, I think there were a few factors that played into it. The first being, you know, there's a deadline of January the 16th set down by the IIHF to transfer players back onto either your NHL or American League roster and reserve list. So that deadline certainly spurred some action from us, in addition to the fact that, you know, Moto had done a very good job with Willie throughout the first half of the season. He was playing nearly 20 minutes a night. He was playing in most situations and was developed very well there, combined with how he played the World Juniors. And following that, we always want to be adapting rather than just being set in one thing or the other. Following the World Juniors, we sat down as a staff and began to look at his situation and look at where the Marlies were, and thought it would be an excellent fit for Willie and his development to come back over based on where he was at and how he was developing already with Modo.
There's another player, European player, who didn't do the same thing in the sense that he didn't start the year in Europe, but David Pastrnak with the Bruins organization, who did start the year in Providence. They considered sending him back to Sweden. They decided to keep him in Providence instead, and he decided that as well. And his development has been accelerated. Did that play into this? Or using that as an example, Kyle, did you look at this and say, you know what, it's helped accelerate his development. We could see it happening with Will as well?
Oh, there's Pastrnak, and there's also Julius Honka, the Dallas first-round pick that were both playing in the American League as 18-year-old players. We didn't necessarily look at those two. I think in our case, William is certainly different in a number of respects, the way that he plays and so on and so forth than the two of them. Absolutely, though, seeing the way that they had played once they were here, you know, gives you some confidence as an organization that an 18-year-old can handle the American League, whereas previously it had been thought that maybe that wasn't the best spot for them. And I think that's to where the American League is going and the job that those two organizations have done with those players.
So, Kyle, the first thing a Leaf fan wonders, I suppose, is does he find his way to the big club before this season is over?
No.
Flat out no, regardless of circumstance?
No.
Why not?
And why is that?
We need to be patient with William, and I and our entire organization fully understand that now each day and every time he has a good game, there will be questions, as the same as it was a few weeks ago when Connor Brown was named to the All-Star team and was named Rookie of the Month. We started to get some questions as to whether others were getting called up and not Connor, and And we really need to do what's best for these players in their development, not to make a splash by bringing them up when they've had short-term success on the ice. It's ensuring that they're able to come up and not just squeeze a few games out of them and send them back, but bring them up when they're ready to play in the NHL and sustain solid play at the NHL level for the duration. And that's one thing that's extremely important to us, and one thing that we are not going to relent on is abiding by that.
Toronto Maple Leafs continue to be the news-making machine around the National Hockey League from last week and now into this one. They start this road trip in Los Angeles tonight. You can watch it at 10:30 Eastern time on Sportsnet Ontario. Kyle Dubas is the assistant general manager as William Nylander has been recalled from Modo of the Swedish Elite League and assigned to the American Hockey League and the Toronto Marlies. When you put everything into perspective and what you said about him and the treatment and the play and the mileage that Modo had got out of him this first half of the season, is he ahead of pace then to be recalled?
I think it speaks to how much responsibility Modo gave him, Darren. And if they played that center, they played him most nights over 20 minutes per night, which was certainly excellent.
Did you get a chance to speak? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And then, you know, from our perspective, that just because of the job they had done with his development, it just led us to to reevaluate where we were at with him and say, you know, maybe based on how he's played there, based on the job that their staff had done, maybe it was time to reevaluate and bring him over to the Marlies.
So was there a lot of this discussion, Kyle, during the World Juniors, you know, while he was here? And if so, how excited was or is he to get this next step, this next opportunity?
I think from our perspective, we've had some discussions here with Willie and Willie's agent in the past few days about it. And I think obviously he is very excited. But at the same time, you know, it isn't going to be an adjustment for him. And certainly his play at the World Juniors led us to get excited about him. I think everybody excited about him. He came over and played very well, but it also showed us a lot of the things that we feel he's going to need to work on if he's going to continue to expedite his development. And that's more than anything one of the reasons why we're making this move at this time, to bring him over, work on the areas of his game that we feel are important, get him, you know, there's a lot of debate out there whether a player in the North American ice, if they haven't played there, whether it's a massive adjustment or not. And that does play into our decision as well, is to bring him over and have him start playing in North America, in the American League, in the same system that we use with the Leafs as we do with the Marlies, and have him start rolling from there.
Is this kind of the perfect storm, Kyle, that he gets to start the year with Modo where he was comfortable, and I think that's where he wanted to be, and now he gets half a season over here at the Marlies? And then in addition to that, what are the areas of the game that you believe he has to work on?
I think with any 18-year-old player, Scott, he needs to continue to work on his ability in the defensive zone to suppress offense of the opposition. And he'd done a pretty good job of that in what we had seen in Sweden, and it's going to be a whole different animal here that he's going to need to continue to hone and develop, as with any player at that age. And then I think the main thing we want to see him do is continue to, of course, for an 18-year-old, is to continue to get stronger and work on his ability to protect the puck and maintain possession of it under physical duress. And with our staff here, we feel we're well equipped to do that and move him ahead. And on your first question of whether it's a perfect storm, we certainly believe that it is, and thus we're making that move at this time.
As is the case with a lot of youngsters, Kyle's coming over here, especially from Europe, you end up basically doing a billet type situation, or you know, you put them somewhere they can help get adjusted. Are there any plans for that with Kyle? Are you going to have, or with Will, are you going to move him in? I think you've moved in on just fine on your own,
but he's married.
Yeah, but is there any plans at all to have him live with somebody in particular, or what are the plans for him as he gets residence here?
I think one of the main differences between players that develop in Europe versus North America is that a lot of them have lived on their own for quite a long time and have that independence already built into their daily routine and into their lives. So we'll have that discussion with William once he arrives and see what he's most comfortable with. But he's lived away from home for quite some time and lived in some different areas of Sweden. So you know, we have a number of those young Swedish players on our team at the Marlies. Some of them have their partners over with them. Others are insisted on living alone because that's what they're used to. And to me, that's an individual preference. And if William feels that he would benefit by living with someone, it's certainly something that we will arrange. And if he wants to maintain his independence on his own or live with another player, you know, we'll rely on him. He's a mature player and person, and you know what he feels most comfortable in. We'll rely on him to take ownership of that and move ahead from there.
Kyle Dubas is with us, the assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, on Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard and Billy Jaffe and Scott Morrison. How excited are the guys in the big club to be out of town for a week, away from this thing?
I think, you know, near the end of last week, I think everything happens and then it passes over and you go from there. And I mean, even here, everyone's still so connected to everything that goes on. And there's quite a large media contingent following us here, you know, on this trip out west from what I've seen already, yesterday's practice. So it never really goes away. It just carries on with you. And I think that's part of playing in Toronto. And I think last week, near the end of the week, you would be hard pressed to say that it was truly affecting any of the players. So I think it's that maybe on an individual basis, some of them are more than others, but it certainly wasn't, you weren't able to see that being around them near the end of last week. By the time we got through that first game against Washington and into our preparation for Columbus, that had pretty much passed and we were on to worrying about the games and hockey.
Another cold snap coming into Toronto this week. So have you checked the forecast for Southern California?
Here now, it's been rainy. We got here on Saturday, and it's been rainy and cloudy since we've got here. So we haven't gotten any of the glamorous weather that it's famous for, but that's okay as well.
Well, we're glad to hear that.
Yeah. Misery loves company. Thanks for doing this, Kyle. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There's Kyle Dubas, the assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I wonder if they went to the Golden Globes.
Did you guys watch the Golden Globes? You were working last night on hometown hockey.
I caught some of the highlights.
I didn't watch. I just went to Twitter for a few of the updates.
Yeah, exactly. And caught some of the highlights.
One major update. So when you look at Toronto, this four-game trip, and they're outside the playoff position right now, 3 points behind the Boston Bruins, and 5 points back of the Washington Capitals for a wild card spot. You've got Los Angeles, who have not played great, certainly not up to championship form.
And are a little bit beaten up right now,
yes,
too.
Anaheim, San Jose, and then St. Louis.
Tough trip, though. Tough trip.
At the minimum, you would say, normally you go, 500 on this trip? That's good. That's very acceptable. Do they have to elevate that expectation?
Absolutely. They got to look to go perfect on this trip. Whether they get it or not, that's another issue. But they have to elevate.
What's acceptable?
2-1-1. That would be great. A 2-1-1 trip.
L.A., Anaheim.
San Jose, St. Louis. That's tough. You know, we sit here and say L.A. has not played well lately. And, you know, they're still down to L.A. Winnipeg the other night. They come back. Yes, they lose in the extra, but they have injuries. Tanner Pearson, Tyler Toffoli, both out for what they're saying is extended periods of time. It's a big loss. This
broken
team,
leg and mono.
Yeah.
Toffoli with mono and Tanner Pearson with the broken leg.
That's scary. I mean, those are big guys, even though the young guys are the lineup. But I still think they're a tough team to beat.
I think if you fix a number, then you set yourself up for disappointment. I think what's most important for the Leafs on this road trip is not necessarily, well, the results are important. Don't get me wrong. But it's how they're achieved. So you can go 0-for-4 on this trip, but play really, really good hockey and come home and feel good about yourself.
Really? At this point?
If they play really, well, you don't want that.
But
if they play really, really well, then you can rationalize that a little bit.
But Scott, then the implication there, the insinuation there is that, I know they want to make the plays, but you're basically saying if they go and they go 0-4, but they play well, it's okay, then they're building then just for the future. This year is pretty much
I'm not convinced that this year isn't about the future. Yeah. I've said that all along.
Okay.
And the aberration of that 12-game stretch was the one that threw me under the bus temporarily. But I'm back up.
The bus is moving.
I'm good to go. The bus is on the road. But I'm not, again, convinced that this year still isn't about the future.
Nick
but
Foligno.
Again, I think it's a building block for a team that's been pretty fragile over the last 8 or 9 games. And they, you know, they had a good game, obviously, on Friday night against Columbus. But you look at your opposition, and I think L.A. is the one you think, if you're going to attach a win, then it's L.A. and San Jose. Maybe they're the ones you look at are your winnable games.
Toronto Maple Leafs didn't beat the Columbus Blue Jackets.
It's going to be tough regardless.
No, exactly. If you're going to say, what are the ones? Maybe they're the ones.
Yeah, you need
2-1-1 minimum.
You need 4 at least.
Yeah.
Maybe even more because of above their predicament. And Columbus is 11 points out after
they had a horrible
scary weekend. Nick Foligno is going to stop by Columbus Blue Jackets forward. He's got the new contract. And just evaluate where he thinks their program is. There's been incredible lows this year for the Blue Jackets, but there's been signs that really they're not that far away and may be able to make a run because of who they have in goal and certainly up front. On the injury front, Stair Millard along with Billy Jaffe and Scott Morrison on Hockey Central. Two major ones. Steve Mason goes down for the Philadelphia Flyers. That one looked bad. They're saying it's only 2 weeks.
They're hoping. That's what they're saying. They think it should be only 2 weeks. But they're also not connected to all the other issues he's had. That's the comment.
I find that kind of time he's been.
Yeah, I kind of find that a little. Not that they're lying, but just doesn't seem right. Aren't they all eventually connected with a goaltender like that?
He's had a variety of them, right?
Yeah.
Rob Zepp is going to start tonight for the Philadelphia Flyers. And Claude Giroux was asked about whether or not Rob Zepp's experiencing the dream right now. And Giroux came back and said he's living it.
Yeah.
Zepp will start tonight for Philadelphia against Tampa Bay. The other big injury is Jimmy Howard had to be stretchered off the ice. This one is nasty and leaves the Detroit Red Wings with their third and fourth string goaltenders.
Yeah, because Gustafson is still out with the shoulder injury. I don't have a date when he's expected back, but you have Mrazek McCollum from Grand Rapids up right now. Jimmy Howard, they're saying, is a groin tear. At what level tear? They're not sure. A mild tear even. It's like a mild ankle sprain for a goaltender.
No.
Either way. That's bad.
The minute you introduce the word tear into the conversation,
not strain,
and goalie, that's bad.
They said MRI scheduled for today for Jimmy Howard, Scott.
And not to diminish Mason and Philadelphia, but Philadelphia, they're not getting there this year. So, and lose him is a big thing. But for Detroit, that is absolutely enormous to lose Jimmy Howard.
So where do
for
you
whatever
go
amount of time?
If you're the Detroit Red Wings, because I've seen it pointed out. Buffalo has two unrestricted free agent goaltenders. But then you also have this three-headed monster in St. Louis.
Well, don't forget as well that Minnesota probably needs a goaltender. Mm-hmm. So the market for goaltenders all of a sudden, which usually is it's a funny market what you give up for a goalie, right, in a trade. Now all of a sudden there's a demand. And so you have Brodeur wondering what's going to happen with him in St. Louis. You have Cam Ward. There's been speculation, although he's got a big ticket. Got a big ticket left. Was it one more year at six? It's a lot of cash for a goaltender just to bring in there. There's a few teams out there that might be, trying to get rid of some, but it's going to be I think it'll be easier to sell than it is to buy one right now.
I haven't checked on Peter Budaj lately, but is he a guy that could step in and fill a void for a while?
He's an NHL goalie, but I'm not sure you're going
to
ride him through the season to the playoffs.
A couple of teams that have to make some decisions. On Philadelphia, I don't expect to go out and bring somebody else in.
No.
And
Philadelphia, but losing sucks. We all know that. But given what this draft looks like this year and given what their team is, it's not the worst thing if they get a nice pick this year because they can be a really, really good team like that. It's like we talked about Columbus.
Yeah.
Could they do? You can be great in a hurry.
Is it possible for the Philadelphia Flyers to fall into the ranks of, I'm going to throw out three teams for you, and you tell me what they have in common. Tampa Bay, along with the Islanders and the Nashville Predators. Three teams that lead their division right now.
Mm-hmm.
Three teams that were well out of it 2 years ago. In fact, Tampa Bay and Nashville drafted in the top five 2 years ago. And right now, at the halfway point of the season, slightly beyond, Tampa Bay, Nashville, and the Islanders lead their respective divisions.
And statistically, they're three of the top four teams.
Well, Tampa Bay drafted beautifully. The Islanders, I would say, drafted well, not beautifully, but well, but then accentuated their team this year by making some beautiful acquisitions on the blue line.
They acquired a budget.
They did. And as I like to say, the five-year plan took 9 years, yes. But so what? It's
they
here,
acquired
finally.
A budget.
Yes, a bit of a budget, yes, and good for them. Good for their fans.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled.
Well spent.
I'm thrilled for their fans, finally. Having spent some years, I'm thrilled for their fans that they're getting something to sink their cheers into. Nashville, they go out and do it. Besides, pretty good draft, great, really good defense, but they've made some good moves that have worked. I'm still very curious to see how they get when we turn that proverbial all-star game corner,
yeah,
and heavy hockey, as we call it, comes into play, that playoff. I'm curious to see how they do it. It's been Peter Laviolette's been a beautiful story there.
Well, and they fell into their goalie's healthy, and he's obviously one of the best in the NHL,
mm-hmm.
and they fell into a great trade that they brought Forsberg into the mix.
Here's a question for you, just thinking of goalies. Jacob Markstrom, he's playing well, very well, mm-hmm. in Utica.
Yeah, having a great season.
Great season. Does he get an opportunity somewhere to go and try and help a team carry them? Maybe not have to play, you know, 90% of the games, but get back to the NHL. Is that something that can help out his situation? And Vancouver, you know, their situation.
And you look at that Detroit thing and you wonder, will the sum of the parts carry the goaltending? Or how big is the goaltending unto itself? And when they struggled last year, remember Mike Babcock saying, the only reason they are not one of the big reasons why, rather, they got to the playoffs again last spring was Jimmy Howard found his game in the second half. So, yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Oh, Canada. Calgary on Friday lose to Florida in that wild one, 6-5, and then come back to beat Vancouver 1-0. Just when I'm about to buy into Calgary, I hesitate because I think as soon as I go there, they're going to slide off and I'm going to tell myself, you should have known better. But then they step up against Vancouver. That was impressive.
Mm-hmm. It was huge. They were. And you change goalies, and it was a huge bounce back. So I did that game on Friday night, and that was as wild and wacky as you're ever going to see. But I think it was also one of those ones that you can shrug off because it was just a goofy game. The bounces were crazy. It's just one of those games that for both teams that it was just didn't make sense at the end of it. It wasn't representative of who you are or how you play. And then maybe it was a brilliant move by Bob Hartley to make the goaltending switch. And rather than coming back with Hiller, you come back with the kid and maybe force your team to tighten it up a little bit, play a little differently.
Ottawa's very excited today, at least the media, because they're in Dallas and they get a chance to talk to Jason Spezza. But before that game coming up this week, you have Ottawa Senators beating the Arizona Coyotes. They're a game above 500.
You shouldn't get excited about that. Just
no?
No.
Okay. it's a win, though.
Not disrespect.
I don't know where the season's going for Ottawa.
It's the malaise of mediocrity. No. It's where this team is, you know, if the Leafs are, you know, Scott, if you think the Leafs are kind of building for next year, playing for next year, Ottawa, you know, I think I know that they're trying to make a push and they're not that far. They're 8 points behind Boston and they have a game or two in hand on the Bruins right now, but there's a bunch of teams that they have to leapfrog, but I still think that they got to make some moves here in Ottawa and give it. I look and I say, what is their identity? What do they want to be? They want to be that speed team, like a lot, you know, then keep getting faster. They want to be tougher to play against, more physical. Well, then you need to get yourselves a little more structure, especially on the back end.
Edmonton's within 2 points of escaping the basement. congratulations, Todd Nelson and company. 10 Although they wins lose on the year.
Yeah, they lost last night to a real spunky Florida team.
After
that
beating Chicago, though.
With a great game. But they handled adversity beautifully in that game against Chicago. They're resilient. And I don't think, even though they had some opportunities last night and Luongo played very well last night, again, he's played well all year, I didn't like the way that they covered in front of their net last night. I mean, we're on the TV side of things, we're seeing three Edmonton Oilers below the goal line on Kobetsky's goal, and then Yakupov tries to slalom through the entire neutral zone and turn over, and Ferentz can't handle things, and Scrivens can't make this. And I just thought they reverted back to kind of sloppy Oilers play, which I'm sure did not make them or their head coach.
I'm just happy they have double digits. Winnipeg. So
how about Florida?
They're not in Canada. I was trying to go around the
country. Oh, okay. Very good. Florida is like our 11th province.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we do have.
We send a lot of
There's a lot of
there.
Canadians down in Florida. So I think
exactly.
You should.
Well, two teams.
You could annex it.
Are you about to buy into Florida and Winnipeg?
I'm buying in that they're legitimately in the race. Absolutely. And I have now for weeks. I have on both of them. Florida, whether they make it or not, I said it last night on Hometown Hockey Show, they have it. What is it? It's hard to explain what it is. It is that energy, that passion, that feeling, Scott, that they are going to win every game. And a lot of it's going to be credited to what Willie Mitchell has been a huge boon to this team because he brings, of course, cups are important, but he just has that attitude. And Dale Talon brought in other veteran players that you kind of said at first, all right, really? Well, just having the presence of Sean Thornton around there. And you have Willie Mitchell and Dave Bolin. Boy, Bolin, he's playing his role well. He's
Stanley
in the third
Cup
line center.
Yeah,
they have six cups between the three of them there. Jussi Jokinen's played well.
It's kind of that Calgary mojo that they're a hard-working team.
Yeah.
They never cheat themselves on any night. And you've got the big guy between the pipes.
Yes.
Huge. But, I mean, they're minus five in goal differential, which is amazing that you're in the playoff hunt.
And Winnipeg?
I do. I buy it.
Yeah.
I absolutely...
Getting healthy now.
Getting healthy and a hardworking team. Good goaltending.
Good coach.
Yeah.
I do. I buy it. And the biggest thing is probably a happy Dustin Byfuglien, who the freak of nature is just, I mean, if he's not right up there in the top five most exciting players to watch right now in this NHL, I would say he absolutely is.
He looks like he's having fun.
He's beyond
enjoying
having fun.
Every minute.
Yeah.
And we go back to that Leaf game from a couple Saturdays ago where he just literally, physically dominated that game and took it over.
What I love is that he's crushing people cleanly.
Yeah.
Big guys. Little guy. Doesn't matter. He's an equal opportunity bone crusher out there. But he's doing it cleanly. He keeps his arms down. He keeps his feet moving. I mean, these hits are... This is what you do. You take these hits... You put about four of them together, you break them down, and you say to kids, this is how you body check. This is how you do it. And Byfuglien, I don't know if he'd have more fun fishing in the lake during the summer. You know what I mean? I mean, he's having a great time. He's skinnier. He's in shape. He's absolutely in shape physically and emotionally. And I think that Paul Maurice and Kevin Cheveldayoff have done a beautiful job of working with him, and he's done a great job with them. It's a fun player to watch.
Came within a whisker of sweeping at Los Angeles and Anaheim. But give the Ducks their due on Timo Solani night. And it was the Ducks that came back and eventually won that game. Anaheim's never done that before in the sense of retiring a sweater, retiring a number.
And they shouldn't have. They haven't.
No. But I thought they did a really good job. It was a good ceremony. It was simple. There was a lot of moving parts to it. And I liked what happened in Anaheim last night. Scheduling against the Jets is obviously a nice touch, but both teams being out there.
I love the pregame warm-up with all the different Jet jerseys,
Solani jerseys
between Ducks and Jets. And did they have a Colorado out there? I don't remember if they had Colorado out there or not.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
I did too.
Yeah, no, it was very special.
I think they tried to make it very. Well, L.A., you know, I mean, it kind of is, but, you know, it isn't. It's Anaheim versus L.A., but I thought they did a nice job. It was short.
And I don't know makes one of the, no, it wasn't short.
And another one-goal win for the
Ducks. But I don't know what makes a good ceremony, but I know what makes a bad one.
Yeah. I mean, at the end, it just feels like it was well done. It just feels right in that
And sometimes,
film.
Scotty,
really
you, have
well
to,
done.
You have to be a fan of that team to get it. And I don't think you had to be last night.
See, didn't you think Timo almost, you're right about that. Timo, he transcends I mean, people just like
love him.
They
yeah,
just
he's
do.
An understated guy. Yeah. Understated superstar.
The fact that he can have a steakhouse, a hockey player can have a steakhouse in that area, not named Gretzky, and have it survive. I'm told it's pretty good, actually. That helps. Says something. People just think they know him. They like him. It's home there now.
When we continue, we'll get to Nick Foligno of the Columbus Blue Jackets, plus the Hockey Central 3 stars. And I'm going to ask a question to you right now. Think about it, and then we'll give our answers. But who's the most exciting player in the NHL? Because I don't think he can go to the old standbys. It's Hockey Central Noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks and the NHL Network in the United States.
Hockey Central at Noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back here at Hockey Central at Noon, Darren Millard with Scott Morrison and Billy Jaffe. Coming up, we have Nick Foligno from the Columbus Blue Jackets. He will stop by, but first, get ready. It's the Hockey Central 3 stars. I was going to give it to the...
It's worth it just to hear the music,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was going to give it to the Anaheim Ducks and then Timo Salani and what they did last night, but I decided to expand on that, and Ricard Raquel coming up with a four-point night for the Anaheim Ducks. 2 goals, 2 assists, and a first-place team leading the National Hockey League and getting it done in different ways on a night where I think you always want to win when there's a ceremony like that a little bit more and have it feel better and the atmosphere in the building. And Raquel and the Anaheim Ducks were able to win another one. And that's now 27 wins on the season, and a lot of them by one goal.
And by the way, in that game too, the Anaheim Ducks got contribution up and down the lineup, and even though they were down for a while, but Kessler was outstanding in that game too.
And the shootout again.
And the shoot, right. But Ricard Raquel came through, just like we've seen other young guys. And, you know, Bob Murray's got a nice kind of cachet of young players there. I mean, that make a difference. And maybe not all the time. Maybe, you know, they'd like Edom more and Smith-Pelly to do more. But he's got a lot of guys to pick from. And Raquel's he's one of those
guys. Who's your
star? Brian Bickle.
Okay.
A guy that signed a big contract a couple of years ago after his mammoth playoffs. Chicago Blackhawks beat the Minnesota Wild. Team that need a goaltender. But I'll tell you what, the Chicago Blackhawks, they've got it going again. This is just, I mean... They might lose a game here and there, whatever, sometimes two in a row, but when it matters most, they get themselves righted. And Bickle got himself to the front of that. He was more physical. He's a player, guys. It has to be physical, and he was last night.
They went a bit of a laugher, a rare one where you can kind of enjoy a little bit in the National Hockey League these days. Scotty?
I just want to say I love you on Modern Family, by the way.
I couldn't let that go.
I got...
Yes, the cam reference has been made twice.
Roberto Luongo and the Florida Panthers, a fun
nice road
team.
Trip.
And yeah, I mean, they go 4-1-0 on their trip. Or he's 4-1-0, I think, on that trip. And a bit of a hiccup the other night in Calgary in that wild and wacky game. But... he wins going back to Vancouver on an emotional night, and then he gets them back on the rails with a win over the Oilers last night. And he's 8-1-1 in his last 10 games. And as I mentioned earlier, with their goal differential being a minus, he's the biggest reason why they're still in this playoff hunt. They're a fun team to watch. Huberdeau's coming on, too, which could be a real wild card in, yep, in them making a push.
And they've started to do it a little more consistently in the sense of, you know, game in, game out, doing what Gerard Gallant and the staff wants him to do there. It's hard not to think that Bjugstad isn't a, you know, maybe not a superstar, but a star in the making. The guy, yeah, just 6'6" to what, 220, skates like an absolute gazelle out there. Takes
and
ice.
Ekblad, too, has just been phenomenal.
They got Ekblad and Gabranson back there, two right-handed shot defensemen. Kulikov seems to have matured, mm-hmm, and kind of into a very reliable defenseman. So, you know, the people say, well, how come they're doing this and they've got good forwards? And how come Edmonton isn't doing it? They've got good forwards and defense and goaltending. It's a big difference right there.
Darren Millard along with Billy Jaffe and Scott Morrison hooking up with Nick Foligno. Get to him in just a moment. Ask the question going to break. Who is the most exciting player in the National Hockey League right now? Twitter has answered with a few different
Well, if Twitter says it, then it's
no,
real.
But, Everything from Steve Duchesne or Duchesne to
Steve Duchesne.
They
wow.
actually wrote Steve Duchesne and to Again. Johnny Hockey, Twitter.
Yeah. But
who do you think is the most exciting player in the National Hockey League?
Well, who are they saying?
Are we Pavel
Datsyuk.
Yep.
Big Buff.
Yep.
Matt Cook for all the wrong reasons.
Nope.
So.
I love Tyler Johnson. He's getting the accolades, but Kucherov, too, in that line there with Tampa has been spectacular. The combination with Palat have been great. But Tyler Johnson just makes so much happen with his dartness, his in and out. And it's hard to argue for me, though, Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue that, you know, when it's all said and done, he's not there. But we get a look again on the TV side of things at Johnson. And a kid at 5'9" at most, Scott, has just – he's magnificent. I love his fearlessness getting to the front of the net.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when we were doing the playoffs last year, that Montreal-Tampa series, standing beside him in the dressing room and just almost looking down on him in terms of his height. But, boy, he's a terrific hockey player. Exciting. Tarasenko's been a highlight reel this year, obviously. So
Joshua agrees with you there.
I don't know that Patrick there's Kane. Just the one choice. There's obviously not the one choice that jumps well, out and
is that the point our fearless leader's getting at?
Perhaps.
That
we have parity in all levels.
Well, you know who hasn't got a vote?
Crosby.
Sidney Crosby.
Ovechkin.
Well, we take
Alexander
him for
Ovechkin. No, but right now, Sidney Crosby is on pace for 25 goals. His career low is 33. Alexander Ovechkin is on pace for 42 goals. His career low is 32, but his point totals are well off.
But you remember when Sidney came in the league, everybody said, oh, he's not a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he decided he was going to be a goal scorer. So don't underestimate what he can do over the second half.
But Alexander Ovechkin's also on pace to be an even player.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And that is what his coach needs, wants, and that's what Ovechkin, I think, is going to have to be if they're going to win.
And both teams are, I mean, you could look at what the Philadelphia Flyers have done and Jake Voracek, but they're not a playoff team right now. But the Pittsburgh Penguins are, and despite being in second place in that division, are still considered a favorite to win the Metropolitan. And Washington is performing better with less from Alexander Ovechkin.
And Pittsburgh is playing great with less because of the illness, the injury, everything there. Boy, have they, you know, Mike Johnson and his staff have done a really nice job. I think Rick Tocchet's been a key addition, too. They've just done a... they've done a beautiful job of keeping this team in it. And Marc-Andre Fleury, who easily could have been an all-star. He could. I mean, I'm sure he's disappointed, but I
might
think...
might be now.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Howard.
With Jimmy Howard up. But you know, Fleury's been really good for them. But this team, Sidney Crosby, has not had his regular or what you would call the top line mates
all year. I don't know whether it's a transition year. I'm not prepared to go that far. But it's certainly not your regular list of candidates. And I'm not talking best player. I'm not talking about Hart Trophy favorite. I'm just flat out the most exciting player in the NHL. And there isn't one.
No, but there's not a
head and shoulders candidate. But there's a lot of...
I tell you, right now, the stretch that he's on, it's hard not to, at least for me, to say Dustin Byfuglien. Right now. Because what he's doing in all facets of the game, he's not just scoring. He's doing it all. It's hard to argue that he isn't there for me.
Rick Nash getting a couple of votes.
He's been so good.
Twitter at Darren Millard. Pekka Rinne and his goaltending. Dustin Byfuglien, a lot of love right now. Carey Price and Johnny Gaudreau. So some different names.
Well, is it not reflective of the league overall, perhaps, in that is there one team that you would say is the most exciting or the most dominant, the one that's a head and shoulders they're going to go win the Stanley Cup? I don't think there is, and maybe that just speaks to there's parity competitively amongst the teams, and there's parity in terms of the number of star players that are emerging.
Is this what the league had in mind? I understand parity from a Stanley Cup competition, but...
The league's got to be
individual
ecstatic.
Talent.
Absolutely. Why would you want just three, four teams with all the exciting players on it? Think about what this does throughout from east, west, north, south. I mean, you've got a cauldron of players, or you know, that have made the league a more exciting place. Johnny Gaudreau. I had the ability to see him play the last couple of years at Boston College regularly, but to think that he'd be doing what he's doing at the National Hockey League level in his first year. No way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I saw that. But think about the excitement, how one player. Now, it's not about just – it's about the team, of course. But the shot of excitement he's brought to Calgary. And think about, you know, again, going back to Bufflin, that team was always – oh, they're real good. They're better, but the excitement that they bring there. I mean, you're seeing – look, again, I do a lot of Bruins games, Scott, and amazing. But David Pastrnak, and I'm not saying he's the answer to everything there, but all of a sudden he gets two goals the other day, and the fans are seeing this skill level of and the excitement level, it accelerates.
Boy, a speech by the owner and the new CEO. Sure.
Did you elevate your
there.
Game after the speech?
Listen, I feel like I'm being judged every day I'm even on here. Yeah, I thought that Charlie Jacobs – his delivery, the timing, it happened to be perfect too, but I thought his delivery and the words he chose and the passion with which he answered those questions, which he knew he was going to face, I'm sure, in the press conference, I thought were spot on. I thought they were, and maybe the Bruins will look back in hindsight, Darren, and say, we needed it. Mm-hmm. When you hear it from the big guy or one of, you know, he's part of the family that's the big guy, it's strong. It resonates.
Brendan Shanahan spoke to the team late last week, and they responded with a win over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Maybe that's why we can't hook up with Nick Foligno right now, the NHL All-Star. I'm going to give it to him, too. When we get him on the show, say he becomes an NHL, going to the NHL All-Star game, and we can't track him down. I think we have to have a heart-to-heart with Nick.
He may be practicing
after the weekend.
Yes,
they
or
had.
Maybe.
Oh, excuses.
But he has a meeting with his financial planner after the big contract he signed, which I wouldn't blame him either. Well, how about Bobrovsky's contract? 4 years.
What do you think of that?
I'm okay. I'm
short
okay.
Short term.
4 years, I'm fine with. Big number.
7.4, sorry, yeah.
Second biggest in the National Hockey League.
There are some that were critical that Columbus didn't get more term out of it. I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either for that amount of money. I was thinking it's a little too much money, but, you know, if they believe in them, but they're saying, listen, do it for 4 years and you'll get even more.
What's the first thing you hear when the teams that have done the contracts and they got their 8 years, their 7 years, they're all happy, and a year or two in, it's like, oh my God, we've got six more years. So yeah, the term's fine. The number is the number, because the minute you don't sign him, you've got to go find a replacement, and we know that is not easy to be done. So I think it was a good deal for the team and the goalie.
Okay, sell these games for me tonight. Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, and Sportsnet, most exciting player on either side.
Well, right now, you know, Tampa's got a few of them, but Tyler Johnson is riding the wave. Stamkos is already there. In Philly, it's either Claude Giroux or Jacob Voracek.
Colorado, Washington tonight.
Well, I mean, this is a huge game for Colorado to stay in that playoff hunt. And as you mentioned, I mean, Ovechkin.
Washington.
Yeah, both teams. But and Washington, Ovechkin plus 10, and Holtby is becoming a goalie.
He's going to start again, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's been phenomenal.
What happens in Colorado with Ryan O'Reilly? A lot of talk about that, but the team is trying to elevate its game and get into the playoffs. How about the play of Eric Fehr in Washington? Now that he's situated as a centerman, he's been great. Long stick, hard release to pick up when you talk to goalies about what he's doing there.
Brandon, Wheat King product. They had a big win last night over Calgary Hit.
Always back to the Prairies.
Los Angeles at home to Toronto and Sportsnet Ontario. Hockey Central teased that one up for you at 10 o'clock. Phil Kessel, I saw the tweet from Joey Vendetta. He's just happy to be in Southern California.
He'd be happy to be fishing.
Don't bring that up again. Los Angeles, you keep waiting for them, but they've got the injuries
Pearson. Yep.
And Toronto coming off a win to go on the road trip. Last time they went on the road, they lost their last game, and that kind of carried over.
Does LA move Richards?
That's what they're supposedly investigating.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think he's such a key to the dynamic of that dressing room.
I agree.
We've talked about that before.
I'm a big fan of it. I agree.
Yeah. I'd be really nervous to make that move if I'm LA.
Toronto played better against Washington. They executed very well against Columbus, minus the blown tire by Dion and the first goal against. So how do they stack up now against the Western Conference? And they do. They have an more than okay record against the Western Conference this year. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, remember, the Rangers went out there, and I know we're talking different levels of team, but the Rangers went out west, and they said, this is our measuring stick. This is our ability. And all they do is they go out there, and they win. I don't think the Leafs are looking at this as a measuring stick so much as an opportunity to kind of get away from the craziness in Toronto, but also to say, look, put together a few games here. We get back to respectability again.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it earlier. The results are important, but how they play is almost as important.
That's bizarre to me right now in a playoff race. Just put up points. I'm not saying you're wrong, Scott.
Yeah, if you play well, you give yourself a chance.
Thanks to Kyle Dubas for stopping by. We'll talk to you again tonight, 10 o'clock, TF Toronto, Los Angeles, at SportsCenter Ontario.